Welcome to the Hannah Miller Show. And here she is, Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly conservative and unashamedly Christian, this is Hannah Miller, and this is what happened this week. This week's insanity level is the Biden administration believes five-year-olds can pick their gender and castrate themselves, but an 18-year-old can't be held responsible for their college loans. Yes, quote, student loan forgiveness, rather paying other people's debts, is in the news again with the Biden administration. I shouldn't have to explain how unjust it is for folks who either didn't go to college or who did and have already spent years paying off their debt to now be responsible for paying off the loans of others. Even for folks who earned scholarships and maybe didn't pay out financially, it's still unjust because they spent a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to earn their scholarship, and dumping someone else's debt onto them undermines their hard work. This is not controversial, guys. It's not. It's wrong. Full stop. All right. So I'm going to move on from that story because I really don't know. What else do you say? How do you make the argument that this is right or fair for everybody involved? It's not. And furthermore, I mean, it's completely unconstitutional. The federal government has no responsibility for this whatsoever. But there's billions of our dollars going to things that the government is not responsible for. So that's not news. But it's just straight out not fair. It's not right. It's unjust. All right. So Ron DeSantis did sign the bill in Florida that stripped Disney of their special tax exemption, and I have a couple of things to say about it. There is some debate happening on whether or not the taxpayers in those two counties are now going to have to bear the brunt of the taxes, since Disney previously paid for road maintenance, fire departments, etc. This is a legitimate concern, as it does seem like this bill punishes the taxpayers in Florida more than Disney when you look at the whole of it. First, from everything I've read, this move could cost Florida taxpayers. But there's nothing in Florida law that I've discovered so far that guarantees that Florida taxpayers for sure will foot the bill either. So right now, it seems like it could go either way because Florida law, previous agreements, etc., don't protect either Disney or taxpayers. Again, that's from what I've gathered so far and what I've been able to discover and research over the last week. This bill is supposed to go into effect July 2023, and DeSantis and the legislator who wrote this bill, Randy Fine, have promised this won't blow back on the taxpayers in any way, and they promised to utilize the next legislative session to guarantee that. Now, I am always, and put that in all caps, always skeptical of a politician's promise. But I believe there are a couple of reasons that we can trust DeSantis and Randy Fine on this, specifically DeSantis. Ron DeSantis is quite popular. Here, first reason. Ron DeSantis is quite popular in an incredibly diverse state. He didn't get that way by being an idiot. Dumping millions of dollars of additional taxes onto two well-populated counties would be the mark of an idiot. Two, it would be especially idiotic when he is running for re-election, especially when he is setting himself up to run for president. He can't afford to embitter Floridians, neither in his campaign for governorship this year, nor if he ran for president. Since Florida is the most difficult, i.e. diverse, most expensive state to win during a presidential campaign. And completely honest, it's very difficult to maintain a positive approval rating or a good approval rating, majority approval rating in Florida because of their diversity and the demographics of that state. DeSantis has been able to do that throughout his COVID policies and with these moves with Disney. And so this will probably end up in court. And I think I mentioned that last week. And I also read in one place where the residents of Reedy Creek will actually have to vote on it. So ultimately it could be up to the citizens of that area. And I think I'm totally fine with that, if that is indeed true, to leave it up to the locals to how they want this to be handled. Second, I actually believe Disney probably took better care of those two districts than the government will. I have always had the controversial opinion that local businesses should be responsible for local roads, fire departments, etc. Because one, there is nothing in our Constitution that makes the government responsible for local roads. The argument could be made that interstates are necessary for military movement and thus defense of the nation, which is constitutional, but I'm talking about on the local level for right now. And two, local businesses have a financial motivation to do so. If their county is appealing and safe, people want to go there. It's not rocket science. Whereas politicians are far removed and more susceptible to corruption and waste, as we very clearly know. So, on the one hand, I actually think the right thing is for all the businesses in Florida to have the same privileges that Disney had, but that wasn't the case. A few others had similar privileges, but not all businesses, and not all had the same privileges. Even those that had some sort of privilege, they didn't have all of the same privileges that Disney did. On the other hand, I believe in a level playing field for business. No favoritism. This was clearly a case of favoritism from the government, and I have a problem with that. I believe the correct answer here is to actually give the same privileges to all businesses so they could more fairly compete with Disney, not to necessarily strip those privileges from Disney. I mean, that's not where we're at in time. Really, I guess a better way of saying that, the correct answer is that Disney would have never been given these privileges because they would not have been a privilege. It should have always been that all of the businesses have this privilege, essentially. But it's, you know, to create a level playing field and to reject favoritism with businesses. And because, and let's just be honest, let's take Inman, for example. And, you know, if I knew that my tax money, like I care about my neighborhood. I care about the roads that I drive. I don't necessarily care about the roads that are down at Myrtle Beach. Not really. I care about my main street in Inman. I care about my neighborhood. I care about the roads and so I am motivated to give money towards those things. And so are the people that are in my neighborhood and that shop in Inman and have to traverse the roads around here. And so we're all motivated to give to those things and to give and pay for those things to have better, to those areas to have better roads. And so I just am to be safe, to be appealing. So I just think that I've always thought that local people are more motivated to give to local causes. And one of those being our own roads, our own fire departments, and things of that nature, police departments that for so long have been just kind of dumped on at the state level. So, or even the government period, I'm not even talking about, you know, your local taxes, city taxes paying for your local fire department or your local police department or whatever. I'm talking about just not even the money going through the government, because there's just so much waste when that starts to happen. And money goes through too many hands. And when the more hands that money goes through, the more it gets siphoned off. We know how that works with the government. So I just think that I just have always thought the local people could handle it better. They could take care of their own areas better than sending their money off. And there's multiple reasons for that, and I've kind of talked about all of them. Third, though, complicating things further, and this is shifting from a constitutional political side to a more moral side. This bill was a response to Disney's refusal to abide by a new law in Florida defending parental rights. Disney is very clearly waging war against families and children by refusing to abide by this law. And I have no problem with the Florida government, or I mean with Disney receiving a bop on the head for refusing to abide by Florida law. And more importantly, though, for attacking children and families. The main responsibility of our government is defense of the nation. And while our federal government is trying to get us involved in a war in Ukraine that, let's be honest, has threatened you and your family less this last week than your local school district, I think we would be better protected if Disney's predatory behavior was punished by our government than if we got involved in the war in Ukraine. I just do. Disney has threatened your family more this last 2 weeks than Ukraine has. Okay? And so getting us involved in all of these wars overseas doesn't protect us as much as saying, hold up, Disney, you cannot come after our children and families this way. You can't. That protects us as Americans more than whatever Ukraine and Russia have going on and getting involved there, which is terrible, legitimately terrible, and lots of people are suffering. And I hate to see it. Hate it. But still my point is, for you and I as American citizens, Disney has threatened us more than that war. And I think it's actually more in line for our government to be involved in stopping Disney than it is for them to be involved in Ukraine and Russia. Lastly, on the note of Disney waging war against families, our government should have no alliance with corrupt corporations, and it's refreshing to finally see a politician willing to break political financial alliances with a corporation that has no regard for America and the family. And personally, I'm willing to pay the cost for that break in alliance. Even if it did cost me an extra $1,000 or whatever in taxes this coming year, I would be willing to pay it if it meant cutting alliances with a company that undermines me as a parent, preys on my children, and hates my country. All right, so these are some of my thoughts regarding what's happened and kind of responding to the questions. And I had some people actually who messaged me to ask me about my thoughts on what happened in Florida and how it seemed like the Florida citizens were going to end up being punished. So this is a kind of a response to that. And I think the information out there is rather limited, though, and we will learn more in the coming days. And as this kind of as it fleshes out, and we will see how this will end up rolling out for Floridians, specifically the two counties where Disney World resides. So these are kind of my initial thoughts, and some of it could change depending on some of the information that comes out, maybe regarding Florida law. That I'm not a Florida resident, and I'm not a lawyer or a politician in that state. So I did the best I could trying to find information about Florida law and taxes that could affect this. But it's kind of it was a little difficult and muddied. And I'm like I said, I'm not a politician, or I'm not a Floridian, so I'm not as familiar with their laws and taxes and policies and all that. So anyway, some of this could be subject to change. Some of it, so we'll just see, and I'll keep you guys updated. All right, the other big story of the week. After successfully taking over Twitter, Musk announced on Twitter this week that he planned to take Twitter private. In his announcement, championing free speech as the bedrock of a functioning democracy and acknowledging Twitter as the, quote, digital town square, end quote, where important topics are debated, Musk revealed his plans. He said this, I also want to make Twitter better than ever by enhancing the product with new features, making the algorithms open source to increase trust, defeating the spam bots, and authenticating all humans, end quote. Once the transaction is complete, he plans to cut board members' salaries from a total of $3 million to $0. And of course, the transaction will take months to close. And while the purchase is expected to close by the end of the year, the regulatory process will no doubt continue into next year to complete. If you haven't followed the story and are wondering why the Twitter board actually agreed to this takeover by Musk, it came down to a fiduciary duty to the shareholders by the Twitter board. Shareholders have seen their Twitter stock holdings drop from $80 per share in February 2021 to just over $30 a share a year later. So with an offer of $54.20 per share from Musk, board members would have been acting against shareholders' interest if they refused Musk's offer, and the liability they would have assumed would have been astronomical. As Bob Adelman wrote, quote, "Hopefully Musk means what he says about the importance of free speech, and that once in control, he'll fumigate Twitter and turn it into a legitimate public forum where free speech is enjoyed and encouraged on issues of the day," end quote. That's the thing that has so many conservatives so excited. A lot of folks are, you know, they're really believing that Musk is going to follow through with this and he's going to open up Twitter to be a true free speech forum. And I think that he probably will follow through on that. But just a word of caution, Musk is not he's not a conservative. I think that he's just an eccentric billionaire who appreciates free speech and didn't like what he saw going on over at Twitter. And so he's not our savior. he is not. I have a friend who kind of said it best this week, and Julian Barker, who said, some of y'all's savior bought Twitter this week and my savior died on a cross. Like that. You know, he said something along those lines, and it's very true. Let's not act like this move is going to totally save America or save free speech. There's still a lot of work to be done, and I don't really think you can hang your hat all on Musk and this move. I think it's a huge step in the right direction, and I think that we can legitimately believe that Musk is probably going to follow through because he said a lot of things about this, and he does seem to indicate that he really understands free speech and the importance of free speech for the United States and for any government, any country. And so I think that is going to happen. But even he himself has said even conservatives may not be completely happy with how everything ends up. So I'm not so sure we should think that all of our expectations are going to be met. And maybe some of those are just there's people who believe that he's going to open up everything and we're going to see how Twitter has been colluding with the United States government and kind of being funded somewhat by the government in order to do what they've done with the censorship. And I think that that's probably all true? Yes. Do I think it's all going to be exposed? Probably not. Because even Musk, with all of his billions, is still susceptible to the government. And the United States government. And I doubt that he would come out and expose all of that. So who knows though? So let's just, you know, kind of, like I said, let's wait and see how it all rolls out. I think he is going to make Twitter, he'll create a more free speech environment on Twitter. I do think we're going to see that. How everything else happens, I'm not really sure. But Bobby Burak has an article this week at OutKick. He titled it, quote, "Woke Left Collapsing, Beginning to Lose Culture War," end quote. And he provided multiple examples just from this past week to back up his claim, such as Elon Musk buying Twitter, Sean King deleting Twitter, CNN Plus completely dying, Rogan announcing 2 million new subscribers, the judge striking down the travel mask mandate, and then Spotify dropping Michelle Obama. I'll also add that Netflix shares plunged an impressive 36% on April 13th. This plunge is due to multiple factors, in my opinion: poor programming, high prices, woke ideology, and most importantly, competition. Netflix was the pioneer subscription service. Consumers now have quite a smorgasbord of subscription service options that are competing for their dollar. Then I would say, I would also add Ron DeSantis, Florida, and Disney. That's another recent example of progressivism receiving a set down. In his article, though, Bobby Burek claimed, quote, "The vulnerability of the social justice takeover began to appear last fall when its participants failed to cancel Dave Chappelle for the crime of performing comedy. At the time, it was the most notable failed cancellation effort to date." You see, leftist ideology, I don't believe has quite captured the heart of the American people. Not yet, anyway. It only seemed like most Americans supported leftism because, as Burak pointed out, leftists, quote, had so successfully taken over our most influential institutions, the media, tech, Hollywood, sports, and academia, and therefore controlled public messaging, or thereby controlled public messaging, end quote. But during the height of controversy over Joe Rogan's podcast, his subscription skyrocketed drastically to the tune of 2 million new subscribers. Meanwhile, CNN, Rogan's most ardent opponent, couldn't maintain their $300 million CNN Plus streaming service for more than 3 weeks. Americans' approval of legacy media and, quote, journalists is dropping, the latest example being Americans revolting against the doxing of the libs of TikTok creator by so-called journalist Taylor Lawrence just this past week. You see, woke ideology hasn't captured the heart of Americans. Yes, a subset, but not the majority. So the left has had to rely on censorship to fortify their arguments and keep the average, common sense holding American feeling isolated and in the minority. This is why the left has absolutely lost their minds this week over Elon Musk acquiring Twitter with the goal of restoring free speech. Burak further pointed out that, quote, Twitter has long been the left's greatest weapon. The verified crowd, with an assist from big tech overlords, was able to drown out dissenting voices in an effort to penalize wrongthink. They managed to normalize even the most asinine talking points, including that COVID originated from an exotic wet market and that men can give birth, because the gatekeepers disallowed the opposition to challenge them, end quote. With growing distrust of legacy media and academia, more and more people have been utilizing the internet, specifically social media, to do their own research and follow their own trusted experts. So, again, as Burak said, Twitter was the left's, or the politically correct's, last remaining tool of influence. And with Elon Musk returning free speech to that platform, the left's advantage in the culture war is shifting quickly. Conservatives cannot miss this moment. Politically, in not all but some demographics, we are seeing voters swing from Democrat to Republican by anywhere from 2 points to 26 points. We're seeing eyes being opened to the censorship happening on social media, the outright lying happening on legacy media, the indoctrination happening on college campuses, and the insanity of leftist policies. People are realizing these things are not sustainable. Then you have Disney versus DeSantis. DeSantis did indeed, like I said, sign the bill removing Disney's special tax exempt status. DeSantis is continuing to show conservatives that we can actually move the ball down the field. We can do more than just tweet out hot takes and talk about it on Fox News. DeSantis, and I'll say it again, in the most diverse state in the union, in the most expensive state to win, is not letting up. And they are not crucifying him in Florida. Conservatives don't have to always lose. Politically, we must ready the lifeboats. We must be ready to welcome those whose eyes are now opened. And it may just be folks who have criticized us for years. We need to be gracious in our conversations with them when they ask questions, and we must be knowledgeable in our discussion of the policies we support. Know whether or not something is constitutional and be able to articulate it. Most importantly, though, as Christians, we believe policies matter because we believe people matter. And we believe people matter because of our biblical worldview. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." As Christians, we have biblical reasons for why we support certain policies, and those reasons always come down to Jesus and His Word. So we must be ready to give a biblical defense for why we believe in Jesus and His Word, and why we believe certain policies are more in line with a biblical worldview than other policies. And lastly, we must do this with gentleness and respect. I think people are more ready than they've ever been in my lifetime to learn about the Constitution. And more importantly, about God's word. People are asking questions. I was in a meeting this last week and looking over a financial review, and this company had done a massive poll across the United States. And really, it was more wide than the United States. It was across the world, polling and looking at people and asking them questions about priorities and finances and the future. And 70% of them said, I have readjusted my priorities. I have rethought, I have changed my mind about what's most important after COVID-19. The last 2 years have opened my eyes to what is most important. A vast majority of them also said they think it's more important now than they used to think to give to charity. So people's hearts, their spiritual eyes are beginning to flicker. And I'm not so sure that everybody's, you know, their eyes are spiritually wide open or everybody is just full of repentance. But I think the promptings are there. I think people are, you know, they're more ready. I think the best way to say it is they are more ready now than I've seen them in my lifetime to learn. They're more softened to the message of God's word. And so, and then politically, a lot of people are asking a lot of questions. I've had more people ask me to do about Constitution classes than I've ever had before. More people wanting to learn about the Constitution than ever before. People are realizing the importance of being involved at the local level. So let me end with this. Know the Constitution, know the scriptures, and teach them with gentleness and respect. And that's for me too, because I know I get fired up on this podcast, and it's just as good for me to adhere to this as it is for you. So I take this in as well. Know the Constitution, know the scriptures, and teach them with gentleness and respect. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Hannah Miller Show. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Productions. If you'd like to find out more about Hannah or to schedule her for a speaking event, go to her website, thehannahmillershow.com.